Vadik Reznikov smelled tear gas floating from Green Park across Piccadilly. Even the faint remnants of the cloud made his eyes burn. He could hear angry chants and rhythmic drumbeats from hundreds of protesters outside Buckingham Palace, where the WTO delegates were dining with the Queen. Some of his English scientist friends had invited him to join the protest to tell the poisoners and polluters that they were raping Mother Earth, but Vadik had chosen to stay away from the demonstration. "Putin is always watching," he told them. "If I get arrested, I'll never get back home." That was true. But in fact, Vadik had more important work to do while he was in London. It was a late evening in June, nearly dark. Vadik stood outside the Green Park tube station and sipped a takeaway cup of Americano he'd purchased from a Costa Coffee several blocks away. He'd given his name at the counter as Peregrine, using the signal they'd provided him. When the black girl with the numerous piercings handed him his drink, he'd found the name Richard Branson written under the lip of the cup. He had half the code. Now he needed the other half. Nervously, he watched agitators dressed in black coming and going from the underground. There were plenty of police in the area, too. He had no reason to believe anyone was watching him, because he'd taken all of the necessary precautions. Even so, he felt the sweat of worry on the back of his neck. Once his plan was put into motion, there was no going back. He had been on missions to set fires and plant bombs in Moscow, but those were merely assaults against the fossil fuel infrastructure. He'd never actually killed anyone, never put a gun to someone's head and executed them in cold blood. Soon, that would change. Only death would get the attention of the elites. Vadik had turned 30 years old a week earlier. He wore a tattered white crew sweater and loose black cargo pants. He was skinny, almost emaciated, bones showing through his skin and his jaw jutting out from his chicken neck. His black hair had a short, spiky cut, because his wife Tati liked to cut it herself. His eyes and thick, dark eyebrows looked close together, and his mouth was small and hard. He danced impatiently on his feet. He had to find his contact in the park. That was job number one, the next link in the chain. The contact would give him the location of tomorrow's meeting, and the meeting would finally connect him with the London members of the Gaia Crusade. But he was stuck here. Tati was late, and he couldn't leave until he had her safely back in their rented flat. How long did it take to have dinner with a bunch of incredibly old, incredibly boring climate scientists? All of them salivating over his wife, as if any of them would last 10 minutes in bed with her before having a heart attack. "Hello, Vadik." He exhaled with relief as he saw Tati gliding toward him through the crowd, leaving the tube station. His wife always walked as if her mind were somewhere else, and her feet weren't really touching the ground. Her black glasses slipped down her face, and she pushed them back like a nervous habit. She was taller than he was, and when she wore her stiletto heels, like now, she made him feel like a dwarf. Her long blonde hair was colored in streaks of lavender. She had full pouty lips, gray eyes, and she sported a single gold earring through her long, slim nose. To Vadik, she looked like an Instagram model. But she was actually a climate researcher who'd spent 6 months analyzing core temperatures at Russia's Vostok station in the frigid isolation of Antarctica. "What took you so long?" he asked his wife, pulling her down a side street away from Piccadilly. They were staying in a small guest apartment in Mayfair, courtesy of Tati's family money. But he didn't like advertising his ties to the privileged world that he was trying to destroy. "I met a friend at the dinner," she said. "He and I talked for a while." "What? A man? Who is he?" "You don't know him." "Is he a scientist?" "No. Just someone I met during my doctoral program."